When we give to God first, he will never be outdone in generosity. But the idea of giving the first 10% of what we earn, or 10% of our time, or some of our talent to the church, to our community, can feel like a lot. Many of us as Catholics, we live out of a surplus wealth when it comes to the practice of our faith. What do I mean by that? We come to Mass if we have time. We give if we find something in our pockets that Sunday. There's no planning ahead for contributing. We only come to Mass. We don't come any other time of the week, or even come 15 minutes early to prepare in prayer to receive the Lord in word and sacrament. We give of our surplus wealth. If I have something left over of my time, talent, or treasure, I'll give it. And if I don't, I'll wait till next week. This surplus wealth of living the faith eventually dies. You know, in the world, if I give somebody my money, I have less. Naturally, if I give them my time or I share my talent, there's less for me to go around to serve my needs, my own desires, the people I choose to want to help. But when we give to the Lord, the opposite happens. The more we give, the more we have. Because when we put God first, he will never be outdone in generosity. You know, we have done a lot, as you know, in this property for 2 years, major renovations. And in 2 years, I have never had a capital campaign because I know money is tight. I know your time is valuable. I know not all of us have talent to contribute in some significant way. And so I'm bleeding dry every ounce of blood I can get from the city and the state and grant money. More from them, less that we have to give. And I give of my time and all my effort because of what Christ has done for me in gratitude, not because I have to, because I'm pastor. And the whole community benefits because of it. I know money is tight. I know oftentimes we live in debt week after week, paycheck to paycheck. And that's why I do everything possible to find money from other means than from your pockets. But that's not because we shouldn't give. I think once we realize God's promise that he will never be outdone in generosity, then we give not because we need to or we have to, but because we want to. Giving to God is an investment because we know we're going to get back 100-fold. Now, when we hear homilies about asking for money and or tithing or donations, it can sound like the person asking that from you is completely disconnected from your problems and can't appreciate your financial struggles. It's very much what happened in the first reading today. The prophet shows up to the house of a widow and her only child, and he's hungry and he's thirsty. And he tells her, "Give me something to eat." And she says, "Elijah, we don't have enough food for me and my son. In fact, this is all we've got left. And after we eat it, we're just going to die of starvation." And Elijah says, "Okay, do what you planned, but first, make me something to eat." Did you not hear what she just said, Elijah? Like, what is wrong with you? Shouldn't you feel bad for her? Why don't you go find them food? He says, no. Serve the prophet first, and then I promise you God will provide. It doesn't make sense. She just told him, "The little food I have left is all we have to eat. If I give it to you, my son and I will just die sooner." And Elijah says, "No. The Lord will not allow the flour to run dry or the oil. God will provide for you until the rain comes and you can do for yourself once again." He gives this promise and she believes. It doesn't make sense. Practically speaking, it's foolishness. Practically speaking, she can accuse Elijah of being completely indifferent to the plight of this poor widow and her only son. But she believes the word of the prophet and she acts against common sense, trusting in his promise, in God's promise, and he provides. You see, when we hear of the pastor, myself, or others asking you to give more time or more talent or more treasure to the parish, we can get upset. We can get defensive. We can think, well, you don't understand what I'm going through. I can't afford this. I don't have the time. I don't have the treasure. What talent can I offer? But it's not for the sake of the parish that we ask such things. It's for your sake, for you to experience the promise of God and his blessings in your life. I know it firsthand. Simon has given up family and a future of his own choosing of where he lives and what he does to give his life entirely to the Lord, God willing, in the hope of being ordained a priest, and then give himself entirely to you, the people of God, out of love for Christ. I have experienced that in almost 20 years of priesthood. You know, the more I give to God, the more I receive. Now, because I've given everything and the bishop has asked me to be pastor here, I live with the millionaires here in Rhino. I don't sleep with them because at Friday, Saturday nights, it's too loud. But I live with them anyway, even though I can't sleep. I would never have the means and the resources on my own that I have as a priest, because whatever I've given up, God has provided 100-fold. Maybe I would have had, if I were married, 4, 5, 6 kids or more, God willing. But I don't. Instead, I have dozens and dozens of kids who call me father, not just in religious ed, but on weekends. I would have and only have one mom. But here at this parish, I have many spiritual mothers who take care of me, make sure I have food to eat, pray for me, and offer me their affection and their kindness, their maternal warmth. Everything I've given up, God has given 100 times over. But we don't know that unless we trust and act like the widow, seemingly against reason and common sense itself. You may say, Father, I don't have enough money to get by week to week. That's fine. It's not how much you give. It's that you give. So maybe you have time on your hands and you can come help clean during the week when we have our scheduled cleaning days. Or you may say, Father, I don't have the physical ability to clean. I'm old. I'm sickly. I have this problem. I have that problem. Well, maybe you can sit with Maria and help organize things in the office. You may say, well, Father, I don't have good eyesight. I'm not very organized. I don't have money. I don't have the physical strength to clean. And I don't have the wherewithal to organize things. What can I do then? I would say to you belongs the most important work that all of us should be doing anyway, and that's prayer. You just come before the Blessed Sacrament on Fridays when we have the Eucharist exposed in the morning, or Wednesday night, or just come into the church during office hours to pray for me, to pray for our parish, to pray for our community, to keep praying for more wealthy people to come to give so I don't have to keep asking you. God is providing, trust me, but we need more. Just to pray, to sit and be with the Lord and intercede, that's the most important work, because when we entrust everything to God, who is infinitely wealthy and infinitely capable of anything, miracles happen. I've seen it in these 2 years. We've gotten $250,000 grants, thanks to the time and talent of Jim Paul and others. We've gotten, with some efforts on my own, half off 2 rooftop units that we're replacing, hopefully by February. A $43,000 job. It's only going to cost us $20,000. I applied for solar panels, $125,000 worth of solar panels on our office roof and garage to pay for our electric bill for free from the city if we can get it. I need your prayers. I'll find out next month, at the end of the month in December. When we give a little bit of our time and effort and we put it to prayer, Lord, what do you want? How can I serve? Help our community. God works miracles. And that's why we haven't had a capital campaign. And I hope to never have one. We're working right now on finalizing the renting of the parking lot, which has taken forever. But in the delay, we found another opportunity that's way better for the parish. My hope is that that parking lot will bring in $30,000 to $40,000 a year to the parish that we can put back into savings and replenish what we're spending on all this construction and work so that we don't have to do a capital campaign. God provides when we pray, when we trust, and when we act, when we put him first. I remember when I was in high school, I got my first job. And I was proud. I had my own income. I was working 20 hours a week. And I was 16 years old. It wasn't a lot of money. And back then, minimum wage was $4.25 an hour. But every week, it was a source of pride for me to give 10% of my earnings. I could afford it. My parents were able to provide for what I needed. And so that first 10% of every paycheck, whenever I got my paycheck, I thought, 10% of this is going to the church. After that, it's for me to spend. was a source of pride and joy. It wasn't a lot of money. I think it was like 10 bucks that I gave every week. But it's not the amount. It's the intention, the act of faith. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, in today's gospel, when the people were putting money into the treasury, back then there was no paper money. It was all coins. And the bigger and heavier the coin, the more valuable. And they would drop the coin into metal buckets, these special metal devices, so that when you drop the coins in, it made a lot of noise and it echoed through the temple. Everyone could hear. And it was kind of intentional. The rabbis and those who ran the temple wanted people to know more or less how much you gave by the sound it made. Right? So maybe some people try to be clever and throw it in there hard. But the wealthy dropped in all these coins and it made all this noise and it echoed through the temple. And everyone looked over. Wow, they gave a lot of money. I don't know how much, but that made a lot of noise. Right? And it was a show, the giving. And then this widow comes with two little pennies, probably couldn't even hear it. But Jesus knew that she did not give from her surplus. She gave of what she needed. And that's what matters. When we live a surplus wealth kind of faith, we end up with nothing. When we hoard and keep my time, my talent, my treasure all to myself, moth and rust destroy. And when we die, we have nothing to show for it. But when we store up treasures in heaven by donating our time or our talent or our treasure as we are able, that is something moth cannot destroy, nor rust bring to ruin. James tells us in his letter that faith in action is a sign of true belief. It's not enough to say, Lord, I believe, but when I show it by giving 10% of whatever I can, time, talent, or treasure, it's an act of faith saying, Lord, I believe, and here it is in action. Here are the fruits of my faith. Faith without works is dead. We don't earn our salvation by giving to the church, our time, talent, or treasure. Christ has done that for us. In the Hebrew tradition, as we hear in Genesis, God had Adam and Eve, after original sin, work all week and then rest on the last day. But in Christ Jesus, we rest on the first day of the week. Not Saturday, but Sunday. Why? Because the work of salvation has already been done for us in Christ Jesus. We cannot earn our salvation. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Christ has done that already for us unconditionally. And so we rest on the Sabbath, Sunday for us. We give thanks to God in worship in this Eucharistic sacrifice. And then we work the rest of the week not to earn our salvation, not to win favor with God. We work the rest of the week to thank him, to give back to him who has given us everything that matters most in terms of our salvation. It's meant to be a life of gratitude, not of servitude necessarily or slavery. It's gratitude. And when we give from a grateful heart, our giving is joyful. Paul says that in his letter to the Corinthians. God loves a cheerful giver, as he asked them for donation for the church in Jerusalem, which was struggling. At the end of the day, we firmly believe that when we put God first with whatever we have to give, he will never be outdone in generosity. If you believe it, then show it, live it, act on it, and trust me, you will find and experience how generous and how good God is with the little, even the little that we can give.